Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we come to the end of our series, The Art of Living by Faith, we have the opportunity to explore a vital piece of our life together, means by which God has strengthened and fed his church for almost 2,000 years. To review a little bit in the commandments, especially the first commandment, we were reminded that we were designed to live by faith. For we have no other gods than the one true God. And Luther says that we fear and love and trust in this God above all things. In the Creed, we are reminded that we live from the inexhaustible life of God, our Creator, on whom we are 100% dependent. That same Creator God found us in his mercy when we were in the pattern of disobedience, forsaking our dependence on him, seeking to live life on our own. And he saved us in an extraordinary way. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet seeking to be our own God, he was busy doing the opposite, humbling himself, his son entering into our reality as a creature in order to make himself nothing, in order to save us through his death, all so that we might live by faith. Faith in a God that not only loves and cares for us as our Creator, but as one who has shown us the fullest extent of his love by rescuing us from sin, from death, from Satan, even from ourselves. Having accomplished everything for our salvation, our Savior God is risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father even now. He's speaking on our behalf, and he hasn't left us alone. He has poured out his Holy Spirit on the church, who is God, who continues to be with us always, drawing us to Jesus, awakening and sustaining our faith in all Jesus is and everything he's done. So our life together, our continued existence as the church, our individual and shared lives of faith are all the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. The message of good news we have been given to believe and to share is the Spirit's message spoken to us, reflected through us. The prayers we lift up to the Father are prayers spoken in the Spirit, and they're heard for the sake of Jesus. And so from beginning to end, the life of the Christian is a life lived by faith in a God who does it all, who creates, who saves, who enlivens, who comforts, who disciplines, who strengthens, who protects, and who keeps to the very end. So today we have the opportunity to end this series by considering anew some of the key ways that God brings us into this life of faith and strengthens us in it, talking about the sacraments, specifically baptism and the Lord's Supper. To begin with, it might be good to review what we mean exactly when we talk about sacraments, our understanding of what the Bible is teaching about these things. If you come from a Roman Catholic background at some point in your life, or if you have a family member who does so, you may be familiar with the seven sacraments that the Roman Catholic Church talks about. If you come from a Reformed or a Baptist or a non-denominational brand of Christianity, you're likely familiar with baptism and the Lord's Supper, but you might notice that we talk about those things in a different way around here. Cutting right to the chase, our understanding of the sacraments, based on what we believe God's Word says, is that these things are instituted by God. Specifically, Jesus told us to do them. They offer and give the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus at the cross, and that forgiveness is delivered to us tied to a physical or visible element. Tying it all back to the art of living by faith, I would encourage you to think of the sacraments as God's word of promise tied to something that we can see, touch, or even taste, so that we might live in confidence that God loves us, that he's forgiven us fully, and that we can rest securely in his grace at all times. And at the heart of this discussion, the reason we say that baptism and the Lord's Supper are essential to our life together is our confession that God shows up, that he's truly present with us in a real and tangible way in these moments. The sacraments are not things that we do for God in addition to believing in Jesus. Rather, they are God's gifts and his promises packaged and delivered to us in concrete ways so that we might believe in Jesus. Faith is trust, and trust clings to promises. Trust needs an object. So, what are these promises that we are talking about? Let's start with baptism. In baptism, we are placed into the water, or the water is poured on us. But there's more going on here. Peter points us to this deeper reality in Acts chapter 2, his Pentecost sermon. He's standing before the crowd, inspired by the Spirit. He proclaims to them that Jesus, whom they killed, has been raised to life. They understand, this is not good news for us. If we killed him, God raised him to life. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter responds in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. If we could have the next slide there, thank you very much. St. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So what's the promise here? The promise Peter delivers is that those who are baptized into Christ are granted the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is amazing news. St. Paul speaks to this reality as well in Romans chapter 6, and he says how God's forgiveness is delivered to us through baptism. It's delivered to us because in this moment we are joined to Jesus in his death, buried with him in his death, and raised with him in his resurrection to a new way of life. And just to convince us that this is not one comment that St. Paul is making among others, he doubles down in Colossians chapter 2 and says the very same thing, that baptism is the means by which we are buried with Christ so that we might be raised to a new life of faith in his work. So what is God calling us, calling you to believe at the font? He's calling us to believe that Jesus has done it all, that his death and his resurrection are completely sufficient, and that his victory, his forgiveness, and his life are given to us, given to you. Because of something we've done or because of a choice we've made? No. Because of what he has done and because of the choice that he has made there in the water for you and your sponsors and all of God's people to see. You are baptized into Christ. You are a new creation. You have been buried and raised with him. You are forgiven. You're an heir of paradise. So believe it. Believe it. So if baptism is this moment where God does the work of giving us new life and new identity, joining us to Jesus, or in the life of the adult convert, sealing that identity in Jesus, where does the Lord's Supper fit into all this conversation? Well, the way we can talk about it is this. The Lord's Supper is given as a key moment where our faith is fed and strengthened on a regular basis. And that faith rests again on promises that Jesus makes to us. We hear them every week as we gather together. Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And so, we take Jesus at his word. We trust that he's not lying to us. And we say, yes, he's here. This is his body. This is his blood of the covenant. I don't understand how this takes place. I can't see the change under a microscope. But I trust him. St. Paul, inspired by the Spirit, encourages us in 1 Corinthians 10 to do that very thing, to trust in the word of Jesus, to trust in the presence of our forgiving and saving King who shows up here in the meal. St. Paul writes, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" The word translated here as sharing in the Greek is the word koinonia, which sometimes is translated as participation or communion. It's one of the reasons we call this Holy Communion. And the picture that God is painting through these words spoken through his apostle, through Paul, is that what happens at the table matters because Jesus himself is present with his people. It's his body. It's his blood. It's the very means by which God rescued the world at the cross. And he's here. He's meeting us. He's meeting you in an incredibly intimate way. He speaks in this moment again to us. He says, "Come. Come and feed on this. Hear my word in your ears and taste my goodness, my faithfulness, my love. I'm here. I'm here with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm your life. I'm your strength. I'm the source of unfailing good to meet you in your failure, in your brokenness, in your sin. I love you. And your brother, your sister, the one partaking of the same meal next to you, I love them too. Believe it. Believe it for yourself. And then encourage them to believe the same." See, at the end of the day, life lived by faith is what it's all about. Paul says it so clearly in Romans chapter 1. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." God's calling to you. He's calling to me again today. He's saying to us, "Hear my voice. Believe my words. Trust me. When I say that I'll give you rest, when I say that it is finished, trust me when I show up to wash you and to feed you and to remind you that you are forgiven and free. I am good. I am faithful and true," he says to us. Look to his Son. Know the fullness of his love. Know the fullness of his grace. May God the Holy Spirit bless us to live by faith in the faithfulness of our God. And in that faith, to find freedom and strength and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our King, who's present with us always. Amen.